Stay with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sulis. Interested in learning new skills online at a pace that suits you? Visit ecollege.ie to apply for one of our free online courses.
Now, Brazil qualified for the quarterfinals of the World Cup after they beat South Korea last night. Croatia also booked their place following the first penalty shootout of these finals. Their goalkeeper was the hero of the day, saving three penalties to deny Japan the win. Well, the action continues later today. Spain face Morocco. Portugal are up against Switzerland. And for analysis, I'm joined by our regular soccer journalist and pundit, Guillaume Balague. Good morning, Guillaume.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Brazil were outstanding in this fixture. They ran out 4-1 winners against South Korea. Did they have much to do, though?
Well, they had to find harmony on the pitch. We knew that they had a lot of quality. We knew that their individuals were very, very good. But the question was, one of the three questions left to, you know, to check on this Brazil is, can they do it as a team?
Yeah.
Can they do it at a high tempo? Can they do it many times? Wow, the first half answered all of that. And they are favourites to win this. The first half was beautiful. On one hand, you had Casemiro leading the guys at the back. On the other, Neymar leading the other group up front. And they understood each other and they all spoke the same language and created some of the best football we've seen in this World Cup.
I'm interested to hear how you felt about their little dance, because I know that Roy Keane said it was disrespectful towards their opponents. Let's have a listen to what Roy Keane, we'll just play the clip here of Roy Keane talking about the dancing on the pitch from the Brazil team.
I don't like this. I know, and he's made a point about culture and let's do it, but I think that's really disrespecting the opposition.
What, because it's 4-0, because they're doing it every time?
It's 4, and they're doing it every time. I don't mind the first kind of jig, whatever they're doing. It's the one after that, and then the manager getting involved with it. I'm not happy with it. I don't think it's good at all.
Didn't bother me, Guillaume. How did you feel about it?
How do they dare to enjoy themselves? No, do not do that. This is a serious matter. We're playing a football game. You're not allowed to dance. It's an European accusation, isn't it? Because you talk to South Americans and you talk to Africans and you talk to Southern Europeans and we don't care. And yes, Chita, the manager, did it. And he explained it very cleverly. He said, I tried to adapt to the language, which is dance. Of course it is. The one that doesn't dance, never dances, and I really feel sorry for him, is the goalkeeper. He's too far away.
Yes, he doesn't get in on the
action. Everybody else, he doesn't get on the action. Everybody else, just enjoy yourselves. Of course, it's a game.
Yeah, I'm with you,
Last Guillaume. Time I looked, it's a game.
I'm with you, Guillaume, on that one. I don't think it's offensive at all. And if you score four goals in a match like that, dance to your heart's content, makes it all the more entertaining for the rest of us. Now, Japan, I mean, look, they lost, but they did show us that they're capable of playing amongst the world's elite, right?
I thought they were better than Croatia. But it's true that, for instance, in the victories against Germany and Spain, proved that actually they do belong to this level. But they had like 20 minutes in each game in which they killed the opposition and that was it. Against Croatia, they had to take the initiative and they did well. It's just that they're perhaps not as strong as they should be up front, especially. Croatia, we didn't see a lot of Modric, was a bit anonymous. Perisic was a bit better, was their leader. Keep an eye on Guardiola. Sounds like the manager of City, but actually is a centre-back of RB Leipzig, the Croatian player who you'll see against Brazil. But as you said earlier, the hero was Dominik Livakovic. Hero because he saved three penalties. That only happened twice more, I think, mm-hmm. in the past, a Serbian and a Portuguese. And as always, the saving penalties and penalty shootouts comes out with a debate. How did you prepare for a penalty shootout? And I heard the Spanish manager, Luis Enrique, saying, he asked his players to train to take 1,000 penalties before joining Spain in this World Cup. And Cesc, who actually won a penalty shootout for Spain in 2008, says, no, don't train it because you cannot reproduce the pressure of that. But in any case, Livakovic is an expert in saving penalties, and we see more and more goalkeepers that are able to do that. The drama is unbearable of penalty shootouts. Many people want to take it out. In the next World Cup, they're saying about taking the penalties to separate teams in group stages before the games, which is a bit absurd. But I wouldn't take it away.
So
we love the real drama.
We'll have Croatia against Brazil now, the next stage. I'm not even going to ask you who you think is going to win that, because I know what you're going to say, given what you've said thus far. But I was so surprised to hear you're not going to be there to witness Spain take on Morocco. What's going on?
What's going on is that I'm the chairman of a football club in England in the ninth division called Biggleswray United. And we played on Saturday the third round of the FA VAS, which is like the FA Cup for us. And we were five games from Wembley. The final is in Wembley. So we'll take about 200 fans to Wembley. Empty stadium, I can tell, if we get there.
Yeah.
But anyway, we first had to beat Lake and Heath. And they score first. We score with 5 minutes to go. Goes to penalties. And we won the penalty shootout. So we are in the next round for the first time in history.
Who needs the World Cup, eh?
There's nothing like it. If you're involved in football and you have taken decisions and you know everyone, there's nothing like it. So I travelled back from Qatar. I'm heading back to Qatar for the quarterfinals. So yes, I'll be watching Spain-Morocco today on television.
And is your heart a little bit broken that you're not going to be there to see it? Or is it better for your health not to be in the stadium?
I'm just recovering from Saturday. My voice is still not fully perfect. And I'm still meeting the people that were there. And no, I'm okay. I'm mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit scared about today, to be honest. So,
really?
Yes, I see a tendency. We scored the first goal against Costa Rica and we scored seven. We scored the first goal against Germany and then they drew and we could have lost that game. We scored the first goal against Japan and we lost that game. And this is a team, Morocco, that is physical, that won't let us play, that defend very well on the edge of the box, the kind of things that really affect us, and are very, very fast when they break with Ziyech and Mazouri and Hakimi, the two fullbacks. And they haven't conceded a goal. Difficult.
Yeah, it's not going to be a walkover, that's for sure.
Yeah, no. And also, the stadium, it's 2,000 Moroccan fans, 20,000 Morocco fans against our 5,000 Spanish fans. So we're going to play away. There's a bit of a rivalry here, of course, the geographical proximity, and there is 800,000 Moroccan people in Spain leaving. And we have a couple of enclaves in Morocco, in Ceuta and Melilla. There's we are kind of brothers, but the kind of brothers that don't get on all the time. And it'll be interesting to see what happens today. They look really good.
It certainly will be. Then the other game is Portugal against Switzerland. Now, I heard someone saying this morning when they were talking about the World Cup and how it's all settling in now. It's the teams that have harmony between the players that are doing really well. That's not the situation for Portugal because we know about the Ronaldo problem, right?
We know, yeah, the Ronaldo problem, which is when he came out after he was replaced after an hour against Korea, he couldn't help himself, could he? And he said, "What a rush to take me off," he said to the manager, who'd never heard it. But of course, televisions pointed it out because even in Portugal, Ronaldo is not a hero anymore. There is a poll in Abola, which is a newspaper, a football newspaper in Portugal, says 70% of those that voted want him on the bench. He's not accepted fully by the group either, as you say, Bruno Fernandes, Bernardo Silva. These are two that are not really close to Ronaldo. We'd like to see the likes of Rafael Leao, perhaps, in his position. That adds more mobility, more pressure, makes the team better, really. But anyway, Fernando Santos was pointed it out. He says, "Well, I didn't see it at the time, but when I did not like it, and I'll deal with it internally." He hasn't confirmed if Ronaldo is going to play, if he's going to be the captain. And I think he leaves the door open for that not to happen. Ronaldo, meanwhile, has got his target, which is to score 9 goals and equal Eusebio and the goals that he scored in the World Cup. He's got 8. And of course, they're still fighting at Portugal with that headed goal against Uruguay, which he says he touched it. But the ball apparently has got a sensor and apparently he didn't.
Well, let's see if he's on the pitch to score tonight at 7:00. That's Portugal versus Switzerland. Spain versus Morocco at 3:00. Good luck in that one, Guillaume. I hope you're able to watch without your fingers being over your eyes. I know it's really difficult when your own country's playing, but enjoy it. Thanks so much for talking to us. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you, Claire.
Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.